John chapter 3. And in it, it speaks about the personality and the work and the service of St. John the Baptist. And we see in today's Gospel and the other Gospels, St. Matthew and St. Luke, they tell us of the great success and of the service and the work of St. John the Baptist. How do we know this? Firstly, because there are many people who came to St. John the Baptist to be baptized of him, so that they can then receive the Lord and go to the Lord Jesus Christ. And they repented, and then they were baptized. The baptism of John. And then we know of his greatness and his success in the service because also of the words that our Lord had said in describing this great personality, this great saint, and his great work and service. He said what? He said, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. And John the Baptist. 2 points to contemplate and one question to think about this morning. Why was the service and action and life of St. John so successful? In every aspect, if you think, even from his birth, he was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he lived most of his life, maybe over 90% of it, in the desert. Eating what? Locusts and what? Who remembers? And honey, right? So even from his early age, he enjoyed a deep and personal relationship with our Lord. And a lot of us think, how can I have that? Why did the Lord say that St. John was so great? How can I raise my child to be this way? How can I be this way? So hopefully, God willing, we'll be able to just talk about that one point of how can we be successful and fruitful in our life. Well, we'll first start with what St. John said. He said something very profound to those Jews who came to him and said that all the people, John, all of them are leaving you and going after this other one. And he's baptizing more than you. He was speaking about the Lord. And instead, think about what he said. A man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. How many times, if we put ourselves in that situation, they come to us and they say, "Ah, this one is talking about you," or "This one is doing this," or "This one is undoing the work that you did." What do we do usually? We get angry. We get frustrated. We put fuel to the fire. And we say, yes, yes, of course. And how can this be? But look at what his response was. A man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. What is he saying to them then? He's saying that his success, that his fruitfulness, that his relationship is a result of God, because of God and only of God. And isn't that the case with all of us? If I ask anyone, what do you have that has not been given to you? What can we say? Is there anything that you have that has not been given to you by someone else? Everything, if you think, is given to us from God. St. James in his epistle, chapter 1, verse 17, says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of light. The Father of light. So let us think now about these gifts that we have, about the success that we have. Aren't they all from God? And this is the first point which begins or gives us a good understanding of the success of St. John the Baptist and his life with Christ, with God, and us too. The first thing we should acknowledge is that all things that we have are from Him. Everything. Well, I have a decent job. I did very well in college and I'm very successful. Okay, that's well said. But who gave you the intelligence to do it? Who gave you the opportunity? Who gave you the ability? Who? The Lord. So if we want to be successful in our life with God, especially those of us who are starting our lives, the young people, college, high school, a lot of times we think we fall into this great mistake and sin. We beat our chest and we say, it's us, I did it. No, no. Even your talent as a sportsman, you play soccer, you play basketball, you play anything. You're good at the violin or any sort of instrument. You're physically healthy. All of these things come from God. And that's the first point that we have to notice about St. John the Baptist. This is what made him so great in the eyes of God. Never did he ascribe glory, take the glory for himself. But he said, God has given me everything. It's not of my work. It's not of my deeds. It's not of my intelligence. God chose me from the womb. So the same with us today. Remember what the Lord said? He said, you did not choose me, but what? I chose you. You did not choose me, but I chose you. What does that mean? That means that He's given every one of us something, a mission to do. He's given us a service. Within our families, how well do you take care of your spouse? Are you kind? Are you compassionate? Are you patient? How well do you take care of your children? Do you guide them? How well, you children, do you honor and obey and respect and take care of your parents? How well He's given us this mission so that we can be witnesses to Him everywhere we go, in every aspect of our life. So again, the first point is that St. John the Baptist acknowledged that God is the giver of everything. No one, a man, can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. God who is in heaven. The second point. The second point comes from the way that St. John described his relationship to the Lord. Listen to what he said. He said simply, He is the friend of the bridegroom. Think with me, on the day of a wedding, you're one of the best friends of this man or woman who's going to get married. Whose day is it, usually, do we say? It's the person getting married, right? Let's say one of us is the best friend and we decide, you know what, we want all the attention. St. John the Baptist realized that now the feast, the wedding, has come. The Lord Jesus Christ incarnate came down, the salvation of the world, and now the economy of salvation. He's preparing now to save the world through the cross. So his work, his preparation, as a best man or as a bridesmaid in the wedding, you're there to help prepare before, decorate, usher, all of these things, so that the bridegroom can come in and everything can continue. And the wedding can be consummated and completed and finished. Right? This is exactly what his role was. He said he is not the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom. Okay? And our Lord is this bridegroom. So what is he trying to say? He's trying to say that his joy is in the work of the Lord. His joy is in what? The work of the Lord. Do we rejoice in the work of the Lord? Do we participate in this work that He's given to us to do? Do we even acknowledge it? Do we participate in this joy of the work, the feast, the wedding feast? And He says that He is a friend. What is this idea of friend? Can I dare to say that I'm a friend of God? A friend of God? How many of us can say we are friends of God? And what does that mean, to be a friend of God? When you speak about your relationship with another person, you may say, oh, he's my best friend. She's my best friend. My mom is my best friend. My dad is my best friend. My buddy at church is my best friend. Can we say that about the Lord? He is my friend. Forget about best friend. Can we say that He is a friend? Can we say that we know Him as much as we should? We all know our best friends very well. Their favorite food, their favorite color, when their birthday is, everything that pleases them and everything that they don't like or displeases them. But what about the Lord? What about the Lord? Being a friend of God. St. James, in his epistle, says something about being friends with God. You know what he says? He says, do you not know that friendship with God, friendship with the world is enmity with God? Enmity means what? To be an enemy. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. An enemy of God. Very serious. An enemy of God. We'd all like to be friends of God, not enemies of God. There was a saint, I'm sure all of you have heard of him and know him, Abuna Andraus the Samwili, right? Father Andraus the Samwili. And he had a nice saying all the time. Anyone who he would meet, he would say to him, Rabbina ma'ak, maikun alik. What does that mean? May God be with you and not against you. May God be with you and not against you. Imagine if we are enemies of God and we don't even realize how we could easily turn into an enemy of God to be friends with the world, to be friends with the things of the world. But Abuna, we live in the world. How can we not be part of it? Or how can we not have any sort of connection to it? Pope Shenouda says, live in the world, but don't let the world live in you. Live in the world, but don't let the world live in you. Who was an enemy of God? Balaam. Balaam. In the Old Testament, he was a sorcerer. And Balak, the king of Moab, asked him to come and take a look at the children of Israel and how great they were and how much he wanted him to curse them. And several times he would beg him and he would come and he would look and he would wind up blessing him. But at the end, Balaam fell into the sin and he cursed the children of Israel whom God had originally blessed, and therefore became at odds, enmity with God. So, quickly, let's say that I am at odds with God. Let's say that. What should I do? What should I do? Well, what the people of Nineveh did when Jonah the prophet went to them. He preached to them and he said, repent. And they all repented. They tore their clothes. The king got off of his throne. He put ashes on his head as a sign of repentance and sorrow. He put on sackcloth. He took off all the gold and the silver and the fine linen and put on the sackcloth, which is like a potato sack. Try to wear a potato sack. Very, very itchy and very uncomfortable. And it may have a few critters in there as well. You never know. This is what they did. They repented so that they were not then enemies of God. And this is exactly what we're celebrating in the next 4 days. The fast of Jonah, in which God lifted his anger from Nineveh because of their repentance. So if I'm an enemy of God, I need to repent. I need to change my ways. Let's consider this great privilege that we have, that we can truly be friends of God and truly rejoice in the bridegroom and in his work. And glory be to God forever. Amen.